The Gospel of John, chapter 17. Miss Nanette, where'd you go? How you doing? Two steps forward and one step back. I understand. Stephen's wife and children, some of the children are home, not feeling well, so remember them, please. Stephen Hoyle's family. And it's great to see each of you here today. Taylor, how you doing, man? You get a good trip to see your wife? Great. Praise the Lord. I met a new family in our area sitting on the back, and they told me they visited while I was in the hospital, and they were anxious to hear what happened, you know, so they got to come today. We're glad to have you, and I'm doing great. Dr. Kessner, that gentleman's an x-ray technician. He's looking for a job. He applied at Fort Mill, but they said they were full up, I think, on the hiring, you know. But sometimes they really need people, especially nurses probably. But sometimes, you know, they get the full crews, and it takes a little while. So today is Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. This is the new day. Most people think Monday's first day of the week because that's when they start work. Sunday's the first day of the week. Saturday's the last day of the week, seventh day, the Sabbath day. And on Sunday, we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So let's think on rejoicing in the Lord and being thankful. And today I want us to think about getting to know God in a greater way, deeper, more knowledge, more worship, more service. And if we know God as we should, we'll want those things to please Him and do what's acceptable in His sight. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus is explaining that the time is at hand for Him to be glorified, to be crucified, to resurrect from the dead. He knew all these things, and He's trying to prepare His hard-headed disciples that this time is coming. He said in verse 1, these words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. God is knowable. Our eternal life is dependent upon knowing God. How well do you know God? If I asked you, you had a next-door neighbor, and I said, have you met your next-door neighbor? Yeah, we sure did. We cooked out one time, you know. And I said, how well do you know your neighbor? Well, you know, most people today don't have intimate knowledge of a lot of people. We have a little knowledge of a lot of people, but how many do we really know deeply well, know that we can trust them, know that we can count on them, know that their life is morally good? Our eternal life is dependent on knowing God. And to know God does not mean a casual knowledge. This word, to know Him, means a depth of knowledge that comes from living in contact and having personal experience with the person. And here we're talking about God. Do we know God? Do we have a personal relationship with Him? Are we living in contact with Him regularly? The best way for us to know God is through His Word. So the study of the Word of God gives us the knowledge of the Lord. I'm afraid some days many people who profess to be Christians go through life day after day as if God doesn't exist. They are like an idol worshiper who worships his idol, set him on the mantle, walks out the door and leaves the idol behind. We come to church for an hour on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and leave. But if you're saved, you don't leave God here. He goes with you everywhere you go. He hears every word you say. He knows every thought you think. So how well do we know God? We don't want to be like the idol worshipers and leave our God out of our life days and days at a time. We should wake up in the morning and give God thanks. We should be a people who show our appreciation to the Lord by praising Him. The Bible says God inhabits praise. He likes to be praised. And we should praise Him because He's worthy. We have a tragedy happen, we'll pray. If maybe you have a morning devotion and you read a verse or two of Scripture and you pray and you remember a couple of sick people, you know, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just we should not just leave it there. You got a 30-minute ride to get to work. You got a lot of time to talk to the Lord. And it'll keep you from talking to the guy in front of you for hitting his brakes and the person behind you for being on your bumper, you know, and all that sort of thing. Can we honestly say we walk with the Lord? Romans 6:4 says, walk in newness of life once you're saved and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Walk in newness of life. In Romans 8:1 and Galatians 5:17, the Bible teaches we are not to walk after the flesh. Flesh is sinful. Don't walk after the old nature, but walk in the Spirit. And we'll fulfill the fruit of the Spirit if we do that. Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of the vocation by which we are called. Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, he said the same basic thing to the Thessalonians as he did to Colossae. In 1 Thessalonians 4:12, he said, walk honestly. You know, as a Christian, you'll lose your testimony if you're not an honest person. You'll lose your testimony if you tell lies. And if you tell lies, you have to tell another lie to cover up the lie that you told before. We don't need to be people that can't be counted on to be honest and trustworthy. 1 John 1:7 says, to do that, we walk in the light as He is in the light, because in God there is no darkness at all. 2 Peter says we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you growing in your knowledge of God? Do you know more about God today than you did a year ago? I have people that come to this church from other types of churches, and after a few months they tell me, I've learned more about the Bible than I had ever learned before. And that's one of the goals we have in our teaching and preaching, is to help you. I pray, God, help me to help your people and help us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. In John 14, verse 6 through 10, Jesus said to Philip, have I been such long time with you, and yet you have not known me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. They are one. Do you know that? Is it a part of your knowledge? James 4, 6 through 8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So God puts the responsibility on you and I if we want to know Him better. If we want to be closer to God, then we need to start edging over closer to God. Kind of reminds me of the story of the husband and wife that were riding down the road in their pickup truck. And the wife was sitting over by the door and the husband was driving. And she said, you know, I remember years ago we used to sit side by side. She said, I miss that. He said, dear, I'm not the one that moved. I think God could look at us and say, hey, I'm not the one that's moved. You've moved away from me. I haven't moved away from you. I love you. I want to be a part of your daily life. I want to help you. But you're going to have to walk with me on the terms that I walk on. And that's on the straight and narrow path, so that we do not lead anyone astray. The Word teaches us to know. Prayer offers us a chance to speak to God and express our appreciation, to tell Him how much we love Him and how much we appreciate all He has done for us. God has provided for us. He has protected us. He has supplied our needs. He has blessed us by saving us from sin. If I could get through our minds the awfulness of the judgment to come and help you to realize if you're saved, you've been delivered from that. Man, y'all thank God every day He delivered you from going to hell. Praise Him. Worship Him. Believers are guaranteed access to God in prayer. And so we pray and talk to the Lord our Father. Jesus gave the example, and we're to call Him our Father. We're to lift up His name as holy and exalted. Jacob mentioned Halloween. That term comes from November 1st, which is All Saints Day in the Catholic Church. So the day before that is All Hallowed Eve. So that's where the term Halloween comes from. And people in ignorance put out things to keep the spooks away, keep the ghosts away, the spirits away. The pumpkin, you know, with the candle in it and all kind of other stuff. And people today do it as a holiday rather than a holy day. And they give kids treats. And kids have taken great advantage of the salesmanship of the merchandisers. Now I think a bag of candy about that big that you'd want for passing out candy at your house when kids come around, I think it's $21 for the bag that I looked at. A bag of candy, $21. When I was a boy at 14, I worked in a service station, and you could get a Baby Ruth candy bar that big for a nickel. It was all you could eat. And we get Spanish peanuts for a dime and pour them in our Pepsi-Cola and put your mouth over it real quick because it's going to spew out from all that salt, you know. Penny candy, sometimes two for a penny. That's long gone, my friends. Price of a dum-dum sucker now has gone up. And what they did with Tootsie Rolls is they cut them down to little tiny things and still went up on the price, but not near as bad. If you buy a bag of the big ones, it's about $5 or something. Well, we pray we have access to God. And what a treat it is to know the Lord and know His blessings and know that God is the one who's provided for you. You've faced things in your life that you've prayed about and God has answered your prayer. And there was no way in the world that it could have been taken care of except by God intervened on your behalf. You should be thankful for that. You should talk to Him about it. Lord, I remember that day when You blessed me so much, when You saved my life, when You protected my children, when You supplied a need when we had nothing. And you think about that and you give thanks to God. You know, He'd like to be reminded that you know some of the good things that God has done for you. You got kids, they have two different cries. Kids cry when they don't get their way. Kids cry when they want attention. Even a baby does that. You get a baby, put them in the crib, you walk out of the room, they start crying, you go in there, they don't have a pin sticking them, they're not hungry, you just fed them, and you walk in there, they stop crying, they just wanted you to come check on them. They cry like that. But when they cry because they're genuinely hurt, they get your attention real quick. You'll run to see what's wrong when that cry comes out that you know is not just them not getting their way or wanting attention. Moses wanted to know God more in Exodus 33. And God told him of perpetual guidance and care He would give to him and the nation of Israel as they crossed the wilderness to go to the promised land. David prayed to dwell in the house of the Lord forever in Psalm 27, verse 4. In Psalm 63 and verse 1, he prayed about knowing the Lord and being close to Him. The Apostle Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road and then had revelations where he was caught up with the Lord and God revealed things to him. In Philippians 3:10, Paul is later in his relationship with the Lord. He's in prison at that time when he writes Philippians. It's one of the prison epistles. In chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says Paul's passion was to know Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know Christ better. Secondly, God is revealing in his word that we should spend more time getting to know him better. Am I interested in knowing God better than I do today? It means I'm going to have to put some effort into it. I'm going to have to study more. I'm going to have to spend more time with the Lord and acknowledge him better in my life. We spend more time with him and acknowledge him each day because we know God in our being by our intellect. We read the word. We learn things about God. God is merciful and gracious. God's attributes are perfection. And he loves you and me. And he wants to spend time with you and me. He wants us to come to him and praise him in the same way you want your children to come and sit down on your lap and hug your neck and say, "Daddy, I love you." And they don't want some. Most of us, if I got four kids, most of us, if you got three or four kids, one of them doesn't call you anytime except when they want something, when they need something. They want to borrow something or they want money or, you know, they call you then. I like them to call me and say, "Dad, I was just thinking about you today. I was praying for you. I love you. I'm glad you're getting better." Well, that'd make your day if that kind of thing happens. Imagine our God desires that from us. A greater love develops as we know God better. His protection and provision affect not just our intellect, it affects our emotions. We feel his presence. I ride down the road and pray and talk to the Lord, and I talk audibly a lot of times in my car. I'm by myself all the time. And I talk to the Lord. I'm sure people pull up beside me in a red light and think I'm nuts. I wonder who's that guy talking to, you know. I'm talking to God. That's who I'm talking to. That's why tears are running down my eyes. I don't shout and run up and down the aisles of the church, but when God squeezes my heart, the juice runs out my eyes, and I feel his presence. I'm thankful. A greater love develops with God as we focus on him. We must surrender to his will to do what he would have of us to do. He wants loyalty and faithfulness and trust and fellowship and appreciation from us as we desire from him. Wherever a believer leaves the straight and narrow path of God's word, he doesn't need to try to cover it up or forget about it. He needs to go back to that place and make things right with the Lord. And all God has asked of us to do is to confess that sin. And that means say the same thing about it that God would say about it. Not, "I told a little white lie today because somebody made me." That's not confession. Confession is, "Lord, I lied. And I want you to cleanse me and forgive me and wash it away." And he has promised to do that. Forgive us of all unrighteousness and cleanse us. We make things right with the Lord. David, after his sin, asked God to restore unto him the joy of his salvation, and then he would teach transgressors their ways and sinners would be converted. David knew his sin was hindering him from teaching others about the goodness of God. Thirdly, we're in a spiritual warfare. We need God. We're facing a warfare from our own flesh and from Satan, who works against us. The enemies of principalities and powers. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. People who walk with God have courage and strength. They stand for righteousness. They oppose wickedness. They endure hardships. They accomplish things for God. in the midst of a society that denies him and makes fun of those who walk with God. In the Word, the apostles introduced from the books of the Bible, Romans 1:7, grace and peace be unto you. 1 Corinthians 1:3, same thing. 2 Corinthians 1:2, same thing. Galatians 1:3, the same thing. Ephesians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, Colossians 1:2, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:2, 1 Timothy 1:2, grace, mercy, and peace from God. 2 Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Titus 1:4, grace, mercy, and peace. Philippians 1:3, grace and peace be unto you. Grace is God's favor, which is unmerited by us. God doesn't save us because there's any worth or value in us or for anything that we have done except receive by faith the gift of God's grace of salvation through Jesus Christ. Grace is a wonderful thing. Some years ago, somebody wrote a song called New Grace. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. He'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store. Grace to cross the river and grace to face forever. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. God's grace is extended to us. His mercy is new every morning. Psalm 136 is filled with 26 verses of scripture that explain God's mercy is to us and new every day. Merciful God that we serve is faithful to us to help us in our time of need. He grants us peace, the inner tranquility or satisfaction of the soul, confidence and stability in our life that comes because of our walk with God. You don't have to worry at night when you lay down in your bed. God's awake, keeping everything under his control. He guards us. He cares for us. Even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, God will be with you and keep you. God desires us to have peace. Jesus told his disciples he was about to leave them in John 14, verse 27. And he spoke about the peace of God that was extended to them and that he wanted for them in John 16, 33, John 20, 19, John 20, 21, and John 26. All of those verses, he dealt with the peace of God that was available to them as believers in the Lord. Are you experiencing God's gracious care, his faithfulness, his favor in your time of need? You know, God will not only give you favor in his eyes, he'll give you favor in the eyes of men. People will want to help you because you love the Lord and serve God. I want you to experience that peace if you don't have it, that inner tranquility of quiet confidence, stability in your walk with God day by day, the control over your life that has been outside your control in the past. You will face difficulties. And you need God's help when you go through those difficulties. Fourthly, God is love. And we love God because he first loved us. You are in a relationship between a man and a woman. You're married or your boyfriend, girlfriend. You begin to learn what love is. You develop a romantic attraction. But love that will last is sacrificial, giving love like God has for us. It exceeds a romantic relationship. God loves us, And I've been saved now since 1975. God loved me then, and God still loves me today. And I can see how he's been merciful to me. He has protected me. He has provided for me. He has asked of me to do certain things. And as I surrender to him to do those things, God has made a way that those things will be done. It isn't because of my talent, my ability, or anything of that nature. It's all of the Lord. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Can you wrap your mind around that concept for a moment? Romans 5:8 says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us as good Christians that are morally pure and living for the God. He died for us as sinners. He reached into a pit of sin and pulled us out and washed us in his own blood and made us clean and set our feet upon a rock so we could walk with him and know him in his power. God is love. He is sacrificially giving in his love. And we should love him in that way. And we should love husband and wife and children in that way. I think that the greatest demonstration as Christian people we have of godly love is with our children. Because we sacrifice for them. We provide for them. When they're little, we do everything for them. They don't do anything back for us. Except maybe give us a smooch once in a while, you know. If you teach them, they'll say, I love you. But you've got to teach them to do that. As they get older, they'll start having that relationship with somebody else instead of you. But you can think back and say how good it is to see they learn that at home from us. God is good. His mercy, his grace, his love, his long suffering. He is Nahum 1:7 is a verse I like. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You don't have to become a great scholar of the Bible. If you do, praise God for you. But you can focus on the fact that God is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Grow in our grace and knowledge of God, because God is faithful. His faithfulness is great. And we can appreciate what he does for us when we focus on the fact that we have a relationship with our God. And we can learn more about him and know him in a greater way, in a deeper way. Now let me warn you. When you say you want that, and you start putting forth an effort to have it, God may test your faithfulness. He may test your desire and your commitment. He may allow a trial to come into your life. Because through trials, he'll strengthen you and make you more usable to help others when they face a trial like you have had. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And God will work through you if you let him. And he'll use you and bless you. But most of all, know him, because in knowing him is eternal life. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks and praise today. You are worthy. I pray, Father, for those that are home with the cold and the flu and the sickness that's going around. I pray for those that are traveling and not be able to be here today. And I pray for all who are sitting here and all those that are watching on live streaming today. Help us, O God, to have a desire to stay in close contact with our God. That means we've got to stay out of darkness and sinfulness and walk the straight and narrow path. We've got to spend some time in your word to learn more about you. and express our love and appreciation for all you do for us. So help us, O God, and we offer you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.